with your indulgence, we spend just a moment this evening taking a look, a revisit, if you will, to a couple of passages which I think we don't just know well. I think a lot of us know them word by word and by heart. But let's see if I'm right. First, turn to the book of Matthew and chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we'll begin reading together at verse number 9. Jesus is speaking. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now turn from here to another passage you probably know very well, if not by heart, Matthew chapter 11. The very end of this chapter, beginning at verse 28, again the words of Jesus. Matthew 11, 28 beginning. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think there's a reason why those are well-known passages. They talk about something we love to think about. The world's biggest problems here are taken care of in the words of Jesus. He says, forgive us our debts, our trespasses, our sins. And what bigger problem could there be to face, to grapple with and to solve than the problem of sin? And in Matthew chapter 11, those who are so burdened and heavy laden, longing for rest, what burden is greater than the burden of sin? What rest do we need more than the rest from a guilty conscience and a sin-stained heart? And so both of these passages speak of the remedy for the world's largest problem. And I'll admit to you that much of the world doesn't agree with me there. If you ask most people, what's the biggest problem swirling around the world right now? They might say, well, it's the wars and the rumors of wars and even the hints perhaps of the possibility of could there possibly be World War III? There's the biggest problem, but no, that's not the world's biggest problem. And somebody else might say, it's the economy. Things are so expensive and problems are so rampant, not just here at home, but around the globe. Our biggest problem is economic. But again, that's not our biggest problem. And you might move from there to areas like politics or education or social norms. These problems, though they are problems, are not the biggest problems the world faces. The biggest problem the world has ever faced is the problem still, the world's biggest problem, and that is sin. Bottom line, sin. If it weren't for sin, so many, if not all, these other problems would just evaporate. They would fall of their own weight. There'd be problems no more. The underlying bedrock problem the world has faced ever since the Garden of Eden is sin. And it's not just a global problem. It's not just a national problem. It's a very personal problem. Because as we come to believe in God and in His Word, we realize that our own sins are the very things that separate us from God. And if we one day find ourselves on the outside of heaven, as it were looking in, it'll be because of nothing else than that sin problem that wasn't taken care of in this life. Sin is a problem for you and for me. And the good news of the gospel is described, not in detail, but in a cursory view in these two passages. As we beg the Lord, forgive us our sins. As Jesus promises to take care of the burden of those who are heavy laden and give us rest from this large problem of sin. And so someone coming to Christ for the first time, with their sins intact, can do what the Bible teaches, be saved in the way the Bible reveals, and enjoy a redemption, a reconciliation, a true revival of spirit in which all of us coming to Christ have done the same thing, had our sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism. Now, that's good news. Good news that the world's worst problem has a solution which is both simple and easy. And Jesus says, my yoke is easy. You think about something as disastrous and damnable as sin and sin's consequence and realize the solution is so very simple. Christ will take those sins away. And he will remember them no more. And after we become Christians, that same blood that washes the souls of those coming to him for the first time for salvation, that blood washes our sins away day by day as we walk in his light, realizing our own continued sinfulness and ask for forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so both of these passages speak of that. The wonderful fact that our sins, as big a problem as they are, have a solution. And one day, if we stand before God unprepared and unsaved, it won't be his fault. It won't be Jesus' fault. It'll just be the fault of those of us who've chosen not to have our sins taken care of. Turn in your songbooks to number 917, because this speaks directly to what we're talking about at the moment. 917. I bring my sins to thee, the sins I cannot count, that all may cleansed be in thy once open fount. I bring them, Savior, all to thee. The burden is too great for me. The burden is too great for me. I bring my grief to thee, the grief I cannot tell. No word shall need it be, thou knowest all so well. I bring the sorrow laid on me, O suffering Savior, all to thee. O suffering Savior, all to thee. My life I bring to thee, I would not be my own. O Savior, let me be thine ever, thine alone. My heart, my life, my all I bring to thee, my Savior and my King. To thee, my Savior and my King. Leave your book open just a minute and read with me that last verse, because it speaks to the next thing I'd like to emphasize from these passages. As wonderful as it is to have our sins taken away, and who wouldn't want their sins washed away? Who wouldn't want to be released from the burden and the stress and the strain, the guilt, and the consequence of sin? But something's required of us. Notice the words here. My life I bring to thee. I would not be my own. O Savior, let me be thine, ever thine alone. My heart, my life, my all I bring to thee, my Savior and my King, to thee, my Savior and my King. We referenced a moment ago that passage in Matthew 6 where Christ is teaching his disciples to pray. And that wonderful phrase, forgive us our debts, our trespasses, our sins, forgive us. But there are words before those. You remember how the prayer begins. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. You see, you can't have your sins problem solved without having a submission of self preceding it. I think one of the reasons so many people like the idea of forgiveness and yet aren't forgiven is because they want to be forgiven based on their own terms, in their own way, or with a retaining ownership of their sins. They're not willing to submit. And you can't say, forgive me, until first you can say and mean it, not my will, but your will be done. Submitting to him. And when you think about it, the plan of salvation, the steps that lead to one's remission of sins, all of these steps are about submission. After all, when you hear the good word of God, you determine to believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. You're not believing your own ideas, not believing some preacher's words. You're believing in Jesus. And based upon that faith, then you submit your own will to change your mind and turn away from your own way of thinking, your own way of doing things, turn away from your own sins. You repent of them. And what is repentance but true submission? And then you don't keep it to yourself. You're willing to confess that faith in Christ before other people, publicly showing your submission. And then when you picture the wonderful act of baptism, no one baptizes themselves. In fact, sometimes we use the words, someone has submitted to baptism. Someone else baptizes you. And you might say, well, I believe, I repent, I confess, I was baptized. It's not something you do. It's odd that this one thing is referred to by many as a work which we just can't have any part of when that's the one thing you can't do by yourself. It's not a work, it's a submissive act in which you allow yourself to be buried in the water, there to have your sins washed away by Christ's blood and come up a new creature, thus being the time of sin's remission, but also showing in real time, in a figure, what this is all about, in that you die to self and you rise a new person, not your own person. You rise as a Christian, one living for Christ. The Apostle Paul says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should arise to walk in newness of life. Romans 6 and verse 4. And this wonderful scene of baptism is a beautiful picture of our ultimate submission. Dying to self. Dying to our selfishness, dying to sin, and then living for Christ. And Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2 and 20. Well, that second passage we looked at has the same thing to say. Yes, it talks about having our burden lifted. Those of us who are so heavy laden by our sins now can have rest of our souls. But notice what Jesus says. take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, yes, his yoke is easy, his burden is light compared to the consequences, the wages of sin. But there still is a yoke involved. He'll say, Jesus will, in Matthew 16, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's submission. That's surrender. Once again, you can't have your sins washed away until first you've surrendered yourself to the Lord. And the picture for that is someone who had no sins to deal with, Jesus Christ. He wasn't doing it to have sins washed away. He was sinless. But still, he was the perfect example of submission to the Father. At age 12, his words, "Know ye not, I must be about my, not my own business, my Father's business." He'll say in John chapter 6, "I came down from heaven to earth, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." In Luke chapter 22, when he's praying just before the cross, when his sweat is so profuse that the writer describes it as being likened to droplets of blood from his brow, he prays, "If it be your will, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, your will be done." And so it's true, our sins can be taken care of. Our sins can be washed away. And as Christians, our sins can continually be washed away day by day as we confess our sins. But all sins being taken away depend upon our being willing to submit, to surrender, to say and really mean it, "Not my will, but your will be done." Turn to number 822. 822. I've always wondered about the way this song begins. It doesn't beat around the bush for one moment. It gets right to the problem. My stubborn will, which you'll have to admit, if you're like me, that's your biggest problem. My stubborn will. 822. My stubborn will at last hath yielded. I would be thine and thine alone. And this the prayer my lips are bringing. Lord, let in me thy will be done. Sweet will of God, still fold me closer till I am wholly lost in thee. Sweet will of God, still fold me closer till I am wholly lost in thee. Shut in with thee, O Lord, forever, my wayward feet no more to roam. What power from thee my soul can sever? The center of God's will, my home. Sweet will of God, still fold me closer till I am wholly lost in thee. Sweet will of God, still fold me closer till I am wholly lost in thee. I find it fascinating sometimes that passages which seem so simple have an aspect to them that perhaps I never had seen quite that way. And as refreshing as these two passages are, I need to remind myself that there is a cost, a price to be paid. There's something expected of me. If I have to ask the Lord to take my sins away, I have to be willing to submit to the one who's taking them away. And if I enjoy the wonderful freedom from my sin's burden, I've got to be willing to take his yoke upon me and submit my will to him. And I hope that's the case for all of us this evening. If you're here tonight and outside of Christ needing to obey the gospel, no better time than tonight to do that. Or as a child of God, if you wondered and need to come back home again, what better time than now than to come as together we stand and sing.